Welcome back to the show, Chef. There's a kind of tired that sleep doesn't touch. You know the one I'm talking about. You take a day off, you get a decent night's rest, you have a solid service, food goes out, team's locked in, guests are happy, and you drive home thinking you should feel better. But something still feels heavy. Not frantic, not chaotic, just weighted. And you can't quite name it. You keep waiting for it to lift, one more vacation, one more great hire, one more season that doesn't crush you. Yet it doesn't, because the weight you're carrying isn't coming from the work. It's coming from something older than that. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself, how much of what you're carrying right now actually belongs to you? How much of it did you choose, really choose? And how much did you just absorb over years? Because no one told you that there was another option. What if the exhaustion isn't a sign that you're weak or burned out or not just cut out for this? What if it's information? What if the path through it isn't about working less or harder or differently, but about learning to put down what was never yours to carry in the first place? Today, we're talking about the invisible load. What it is, where it comes from, and how you start to reclaim authorship over what you carry. I'm going to share a memory that changed how I think about this, something I saw in the Black Forest years ago, that I haven't been able to shake since. And if you stick with me, you're going to leave with a clearer picture of the weight that's actually yours, a framework for setting down what isn't, and one question that might be the most important thing you hear this week. And we'll get into that right after this message. Welcome to Chef Life Radio. I'm Chef Adam Lamb. This is a show for culinary leaders who are done pretending burnout is a badge of honor and ready to build kitchens people actually want to work in. Talent gets you noticed. Leadership gets you followed. Let's get into it. Quick pause. If this is landing and you want to work through it in real time with other chefs who are actually in it, that's what the Leadership Lab is for. It's not a course. It's not coaching theater. It's a room where we slow down things enough to tell the truth. It's every month, it's free to join, and you can register at thechefliferbrigade.com/the lab, and the link's in the show notes. All right, let's get into it. Here's what I've noticed working with chefs over the years. The ones who are most depleted, the ones who come to me running on empty, going through the motions, starting to resent the thing they used to love. They almost never identify the right source of the weight. They say, I'm exhausted because the hours are brutal. They'll say, I'm drained because the team won't step up. They'll say, I'm running out of gas because this business never stops taking. And all of that is true. I'm not dismissing any of it. But underneath those things, almost every time, there's something else. Something that isn't about hours or staffing or the relentlessness of the business. It's about what you're carrying that was never yours to carry. Emotional labor without authorship. That phrase is worth sitting with for a second. Emotional labor without authorship. Emotional labor, the work of managing the energy in a room, holding the container, absorbing the tension, keeping people steady, is real work. It costs something. And in a kitchen, it often falls on the leader invisibly, without acknowledgement and without end. But here's what makes it unbearable. It's not the labor itself. It's doing it without ever choosing it, without ever saying consciously, this is mine to hold. It just accumulates. And over time, what started as presence becomes burden. What started as care becomes exhaustion. What started as love becomes weight you didn't even remember picking up. Years ago, I was in the Black Forest. It's 2 p.m. in June. The air is crisp. The sun is shining. My wife, fresh from a kick-ass reception, well, more like a New Orleans barn dance, is getting ready for dinner. I step out onto the balcony for a leisurely smoke and a timely beverage. Across the parkway on the far slope, I notice a small restaurant. The kind of place that looks like it belongs exactly where it is in the Black Forest in Germany. And between lunch service and the dinner prep, I watched the chef come out of the kitchen by a side door. No rush to it, no urgency. He grabbed a basket from just inside the door, placed it over his arm, and walked into the trees. 40 minutes, maybe. Just him in the forest, coming back with whatever he'd found. Mushrooms, herbs, I couldn't tell from where I was sitting. But what I could see was the quality of his movement. unhurried, present, like the work and the rest were part of the same thing, not opposites. I remember sitting there thinking, that's it. That's what this is supposed to feel like. That's what being a chef is all about. Connected to the environment, the seasons, picking, scrounging, making do with what he's gathered. Didn't know it then, but that image would haunt me. And I carried that image home with me. Back to a high volume kitchen, back to ticket stacking and noise and pressure and the feeling that slowing down for 40 minutes between service was something you had to earn, not something that was just available to you. I kept telling myself, my next job, that's when it'll feel right. Better kitchen, better team, better ownership. That's when I'll have room to breathe like that. But the next job came and the one after that, and the feeling didn't, because the problem was never the kitchen. It was what I was carrying into every kitchen. The belief that I had to earn ease, the rest was something granted, not chosen. That the weight, all of it, was mine to hold because that's what it meant to care about the work. I had confused the weight with the love. I confused what I did for a living with what I should be doing, being a craftsman versus managing a factory floor. And they are not the same thing. In a word, I became delusional. And holding on to that delusion fucked me up in ways I am only now starting to understand. Here's the honest version of how most of us ended up here. We came into this industry with open hearts. We fell in love with the craft, with guile, finesse, and ingenuity, creating seven services from one side of lamb. We fell in love with the choreography of a kitchen, firing on all cylinders, a team in sync, guided by one truth, that love was real. And it still is. But the industry we walked into had a very specific set of ideas about what dedication looked like. And those ideas got absorbed before we had the language to question them. Dedication looked like staying longest. Commitment looked like absorbing the most. Caring looked like never setting anything down. So we learned, over years, to conflate sacrifice with love. To treat the weight as proof of our investment. To measure how much we cared by how much we were willing to carry. Nobody handed us a document that said, sign here, agree to hold other people's motivation as your personal responsibility. It just happened through the culture, through the chefs who modeled it, through an industry that rewarded endurance over presence and called it excellence. And now, here we are, carrying things that were never ours. Absorbing things that were never meant to land on us, running on a kind of tire that has nothing to do with hours worked. That's not a character flaw. That's conditioning. And the first step out of it is naming what's actually in the bag. So let's name it. When I talk about the invisible load, I'm talking about the weight that accumulates outside of the actual work, the things you carry that aren't on any prep list or schedule. You carry other people's moods. When your best cook comes in sideways, you feel it. You read the room before you read the board. And often, without even deciding to, start managing around it, adjusting, absorbing, making it your problem to solve. You carry other people's motivation. When someone isn't performing, you don't just address it, you feel responsible for it, like their disengagement is a reflection of your leadership, your value, and your worth as a chef. You carry unspoken expectations. The ones that were never agreed to, but somehow became yours anyway. The belief that you should always have the answer, that your team's emotional state is your responsibility to regulate, that a bad night means you failed. And you carry the gap. The gap between the chef you imagined you'd be, present, creative, like that chef in the Black Forest with his basket and his trees, and chef you actually have to be to survive the actual business. That gap has weight. And most of it, carry it silently, as if it's just part of the deal. It doesn't have to be. Let me ask you something directly. When did you stop choosing this? Not when did it get hard. Not when did the hours get long or the margins get thin or the team gets complicated. When did you move from I choose this to I don't have a choice? Because here's the thing I need you to sit with. Choosing nothing is still a choice. Every day you absorb what isn't yours without naming it, That's a choice. Every day you carry the gap without questioning it, that's a choice. Every day you tell yourself that this is just how it is, that's a choice. And choices can be revisited. Here's the refrain I want you to take from this episode. This didn't start as obligation, it started as love. You chose this work because it meant something, because feeding people felt sacred, because the craft gave you something real. That love is still the foundation. It hasn't gone anywhere. But love without authorship turns into obligation. And obligation without boundaries turns into resentment. And resentment is just love that's lost its way. The work isn't to love less. It's to love with more intention, to choose consciously what you carry, and to put down, just as consciously, what was never yours to hold. Here's the framework. I call it the authorship reset. 3 steps. Do them on paper, not in your head, on paper. Step 1. Name what you're carrying that isn't yours. Get specific. Not I'm stressed. What exactly is in the bag right now? Is it someone's mood you've been managing around for 2 weeks? An expectation you inherited from a previous chef that you never consciously agreed to? The standard of the chef who never left, whose ghost is still setting the bar in your kitchen? Name it. Because unnamed weight doesn't get lighter. It just gets easier to ignore until it isn't. Step 2, name what you're choosing today. Not a grand declaration, not a reinvention, just today. What are you choosing to carry today? What standards matter to you? Not because someone else decided it, but because you decided it. What part of this work are you doing because you want to, not because you think you have to? Even in the hardest operations, there's something. Find it. Name it. That's your anchor. Step 3, release one expectation you never agreed to. Pick one. Just one. The one that's been costing you the most quietly. Maybe it's the idea that you're responsible for other people's emotional states. Maybe it's the belief that a good leader never needs anything from anyone. Maybe it's the ghost of the chef who had modeled endurance as identity and somehow along the way became the standard you measure yourself against. You didn't agree to that. You just absorbed it. You can set it down. That's it. That's the reset. Not a reinvention, a reclamation. A reclamation. Piece by piece, day by day, choosing what's yours and releasing what isn't. Because love without boundaries becomes martyrdom. Standards without heart become control, and leadership is the integration of both. This week, I want you to do the authorship reset on paper. Don't think your way through it. Just write it. What are you carrying that isn't yours? What are you choosing today? And what expectation can you set down? Just one for today. And then sit with this before you go back in. This didn't start as obligation, started as love. That love is still there. It didn't leave. It just got buried underneath everything you picked up that wasn't yours. Find it, lead from it. All right, let's hammer it home. Today we talked about the kind of tire that sleep doesn't touch and why the source of it is usually not the work itself, but the invisible load you've been carrying without choosing to. We talked about how we got there, not through failure, but through love. Through an industry that taught us sacrifice and care were the same thing, and a culture that rewarded absorption and called it dedication. We talked about what's actually in that bag. Other people's moods, other people's motivation, unspoken expectations you never agreed to, and the gap between the chef you imagined and the chef the one the business requires. We talked about the authorship reset. 3 steps, on paper, not in your head. Name what isn't yours. Name what you're choosing today. And release one expectation you never agreed to. And we left with this. This didn't start as obligation. It started as love. That's still true, and it's enough to start from. The work this week, the reset, on paper, one thing named, one thing chosen, one thing set down. Big thanks to the culinary program at AV Technical College for supporting this work and for work they're doing to develop the next generation of culinary leaders here in Western North Carolina. If you're building a career in this industry or looking to connect with emerging talent, they're worth knowing. And the link is in the show notes. And thank you to Carolina Health and Wellness for being in our corner. Everything we talk about on this show, the weight, the load, the long game, it all lives in the body first. Take care of it. Carolina Health and Wellness gets that. The link is in the show notes. Stay tall, stay frosty, and lead from your heart. That's a wrap for today's episode of Chef Life Radio. If this resonated with you, do me a favor, subscribe, share, and leave a review. Your feedback helps us reach more culinary leaders like you who are ready to take their kitchens to the next level. Want more? Connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, or join our Chef Life Radio community for exclusive insights and leadership tools. Remember, leadership isn't about perfection, it's about progress. So take what you've learned today and apply it in your kitchen, your team, and your life. Chef Life Radio is more than just a podcast, it's a movement. The focus is no longer just on career survival, but on transforming leadership, creating sustainability, and ensuring chefs can build kitchens that thrive. Remember, the secret ingredient to culinary success isn't just in the food, it's in the leadership. Keep learning, keep growing, and as always, lead with the heart. See you next time.